At this time, I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We will begin reading at the end of chapter 1, verse 17, and read through the end of chapter 2, verse 10. Remember, Jonah is a small book of the Bible. Hosea, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, if you're in that ballpark, you will arrive there. And now, please stand, if you are able, for the reading of God's word. This is God's word. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Please be seated. Where we left off in the book of Jonah, our hopes for Jonah as God's prophet have been dashed, as he has taken a nosedive, spiraling down, down, down into disaster. And as Jonah has been on this downward spiral, the wisdom of Proverbs 15:24 is echoing in our minds, where it says, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. For humanity being made in the image of God, being made for a relationship with him, cannot be neutral toward the Lord, but must necessarily take one of two paths and be set on one of two trajectories. There is, on one hand, the wise path, which is the path of obedience to God, leading to life and blessing. And there is, on the other hand, the foolish path of disobedience, which leads to death. Jonah has chosen the foolish path. Instead of being obedient to the Lord and going up to his presence, he has fled away from the presence of the Lord and has gone down into Sheol as the result of his folly. Now, when you hear the word Sheol, simply think death. But think of death as it would be pictured by being deep underground, or deep at the bottom of the sea. For this is where Jonah has found himself when we arrive at our text for this morning. And as we've been considering Jonah's downward spiral towards disaster, we have also considered that this story is not just about Jonah as one individual, but that Jonah is actually following the pattern that the whole nation of Israel is following at this point in its history. For all Israel has broken the covenant made between God and them on Mount Sinai. They have chosen the foolish path which leads to disaster and destruction. They have chosen disobedience. And so the disaster that God promised would come for disobedience is now about to come to the nation of Israel, as both its northern and southern kingdoms are to be wiped out by the Assyrian and Babylonian empires. So this story about Jonah entering into death here in the fish has a broader scope. Keep that in mind as we look at what is true of Jonah, that this reality is not just for Jonah, but it is for the whole nation of Israel at this time, and it is also for all humanity fallen in Adam. This brings us to our text for this morning, where we see that Jonah has entered into death as he is in the belly of the fish. In his prayer, Jonah recognizes the reality of where he is, that he is in the state of death. And he does this in his prayer also for our sakes, as he paints a vivid picture of what it looks like to be in the state of death as the result of rebellion against the Lord. So as we consider this vivid picture that Jonah paints for us in the fish, rather than taking it line by line, I think it's appropriate for us to think about it holistically as a depiction of where Jonah is in the fish, in the belly of Sheol, that is, in the belly of death. And I also think it's appropriate to think about this picture in terms of Jonah's five senses. What is it that Jonah perceives about his reality as he is in the belly of Sheol? Let us begin with Jonah's sense of sight. Jonah says this in verse 3. He says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas." Now, at the depths of the ocean, in the heart of the seas, it is completely dark because the light does not penetrate there. As you're thinking about the depths of the seas, you might think about Genesis chapter 1, where right before God says, "Let there be light," it is recorded that darkness was over the surface of the deep. So Jonah here in the belly of the fish, in the depths of the ocean, is in complete and utter darkness. Jonah also says in verse 4, he says, "I am driven away from your sight." Jonah is not only in darkness of any kind, but he is in a particular kind of darkness. He is in the darkness that comes from being away from the presence of the Lord of light. Think about the way eternity is described in the New Testament. Heaven is described as a place where there is no sun because God himself and his presence with his people is a light which fills the whole heavenly city. To be in God's eternal presence is to be in the light. But also think about the most common description of hell in the New Testament, as it is described by Jesus as outer darkness. To be in the darkness is to be away from God's presence, and it is to be in death. In the first verses of chapter 1 of Jonah, we saw that Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord, and now that he is in the belly of the fish at the bottom of the sea, he has arrived at the very place where he set out to go. But it has only been disaster for him. Let's now think about Jonah's sense of touch. Jonah says in verse 3, "And the flood surrounded me." And then in verse 5, "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me." At the bottom of the sea, the water pressure is so great that it can crush a school bus into a wad of foil. Jonah here in the belly of the fish is feeling that great pressure. But he is not just feeling the weight of the many tons of water above his head. He is feeling the weight of God's holy judgment. For just as God once judged the whole world in a great flood, and just as God judged Pharaoh and all his army in the Red Sea, Jonah is here feeling the weight of God's holy judgment, which comes upon him for his rebelling against the Lord and fleeing his word. Let's also think about Jonah's sense of hearing. He says in verse 3, "All your waves and billows passed over me." What Jonah detects with his ears are the sounds of the storm, the waves and the wind. And when the Lord God comes in the storm, he comes in his fierce anger and righteous wrath. It's not only the case for Jonah that he is feeling the weight of God's holy judgment, but he also has an anticipation. There is one reality which he is entitled to anticipate on the basis of his own works, and that is the anticipation of his ultimate condemnation when God brings about his final judgment on the last day. Let us also think about Jonah's sense of taste and smell. He says in verse 5, "Weeds were wrapped about my head." Jonah is in the digestive system of a sea creature, surrounded by the weeds that this great fish has consumed as they are decomposing and decaying about him. All that he detects by taste is the taste of decay and death. And at this point, I think it is appropriate and fitting for us to consider how God's inheritance of eternal life is described in the scriptures as tasting of the tree of life. For Jonah, being in the state of death, is cut off from God's promised inheritance. Being in death, he is cut off from life. This is the state of Jonah as he is in the fish in the belly of Sheol. But as I alluded to earlier, this is not the state of Jonah alone, but this is the condition of all of humanity fallen in Adam apart from redemption in Christ. Just like Jonah is in the darkness of the pit of the bottom of the sea, humanity fallen in Adam is away from the presence of the Lord. Just like Jonah felt the crushing weight of God's judgment as all the waters closed in about him, fallen humanity in Adam is under God's holy judgment because of its sin. And just like Jonah detected with his ears the sounds of the storm, the wind, and the waves, all humanity in Adam, apart from Christ, has nothing to anticipate save the coming of God's wrath when he pours out his justice in his fierce anger against sin. And just like Jonah tasting of death in the stomach of a fish has been cut off, all humanity fallen in Adam is cut off from God's life. And Jonah brings all of these things to a conclusion in verse 6 when he says, "I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever." By describing this state of death as having bars closed in on him forever, he is describing it as a state which is inescapable. Death is like a prison, and he is utterly powerless of anything that he could do of his own accord to escape his situation. And so too, for all of humanity fallen in Adam, the condition of death and the state of misery and being rebellion against God is inescapable for humanity according to anything which it could do of its own power to rescue itself. This is not the only reality we see in our text for this morning. For not only has Jonah entered into death in our passage for this morning, but we also see that although Jonah can do nothing of his own power to escape the situation which he is in, he nevertheless does escape death. If Jonah was utterly powerless to escape death, and yet he does escape, and on the third day, he is vomited up out of the fish and returns to the realm of the living, it must not be by his own doing, but it must be because his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has acted mercifully to rescue him according to his power. Jonah recognizes this reality at the very beginning of his prayer. Hear verse 2. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Even though Jonah was suffering what he deserved for rebelling against God and for fleeing God's presence, when he cries out to the Lord hears him and out of his pure grace acts to rescue him from his despair. This is a profound turn that Jonah would be in the very state of death, and yet God would hear his cry from the pit and he would be restored unto life. Jonah acknowledges this profound turn from death unto life that God has brought about for him by his power three more times in his prayer. Here in verse 2, Jonah says, Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Excuse me, that's verse 4. A profound turn. Though Jonah is driven away from the sight of God, he will again look to God's holy temple and be restored unto dwelling in God's presence. Here also verse 6, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. And here also verse 7, where Jonah says, When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. The Lord is the God who hears his people and answers their prayer, though they don't deserve it, from the very pit of despair, to raise them up out of death and restore them unto newness of life. Jonah encapsulates this truth in the concluding statement of his prayer at the end of verse 9 when he declares, Salvation belongs to the Lord. For Yahweh is not only the God who stands above all creation as its majestic creator, not dependent upon any of his creatures that he would be glorified, but he is also the God of the new creation, accomplishing that new creation work, raising a people dead in sin unto life and unto himself to be an inheritance for him. And so in our text for this morning, Jonah enters into death, but also escapes death. And he does this not by any power of his own, but because God has done it on his behalf. And ultimately, Jonah escapes death because of a victory over death, which is won by that true prophet, the one who truly is a savior in a time of crisis, the one who truly sees God face to face, being the very image of the invisible God, the one whose name rightly is faithful and true, as the name Jonah, son of Amittai, suggests. Jonah, and indeed all the saints, escape death because Jesus Christ has conquered death in his own death on the cross for us. Thus, as we see death entered and death escaped in our text for this morning, we see also a third point, that death is conquered. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, when asked to give a sign, Jesus spoke these words. He said, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." When our Lord Jesus likened his own death to the state of Jonah in the belly of the great fish, he was not pulling an obscure meaning out of the book. He was not bringing something brand new to the book of Jonah, interpreting it as a mystical allegory, which was impossible to understand prior to his coming, but rather, Jesus is speaking to the plain meaning of the message of Jonah. Jesus identifies that in the book of Jonah, plainly and clearly, Jonah entered into death. And he reveals, in likening his own death to that of Jonah, that he will enter fully into death, into Sheol, in order to accomplish the redemption of God's people. For just as Jonah was in utter darkness in the belly of the fish, Jesus passed through the utter darkness of his cross so that a people who walked in darkness might see a great light. For just as Jonah was driven away from the presence of the Lord in the fish, Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that his scattered people might be gathered unto the Lord and have an inheritance secure in him and enjoy God's presence forever. For just as Jonah was crushed by the waters of the sea and the great deeps, Jesus was crushed for our sins, bearing a weight of judgment greater than all the waters which covered the whole surface of the earth in the great flood. Bearing a weight of judgment greater than the raging waves of the Red Sea, which ground all the chariots of Pharaoh's army to fine powder. Jesus bore a weight of judgment far greater than anything Jonah could have possibly imagined, even as he was in the belly of the fish. And Jesus bore this great weight of judgment, even though he was the only man to ever not deserve to bear it. He bore it not for himself, but he bore it for us. Think about this. If you thought Jonah endured much in the belly of the fish, when we were considering this vivid picture which he painted for us, think about how when Jonah cried out to God out of his despair, the Lord heard him and answered him. But when Jesus cried out to the Lord on the cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Even when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, when he cried out to the Lord rescued him and gave him relief. But when our Lord Jesus bore the weight of our sins on his cross, He cried out, and there was no relief. He drank of the cup of God's wrath to the dregs for us. And at the very moment Jesus uttered these words and he offered up his spirit, the tombs were opened and the earth quaked because death could no longer contain all the saints who had fallen asleep. And many were raised and visited the saints in the city. In his death on the cross and bearing that weight of judgment for us, Jesus not only entered death as Jonah did, but our Lord conquered death. He won a victory for us so that we, his people, would have eternal life with God. So when Jonah sings from the belly of the fish at the end of his prayer, salvation belongs to the Lord. Let us join in singing with him according to the instruction of the Apostle Paul, where he says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death has no victory over God's people, because the victory over death has been won for us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who plunged into the very pit of our despair to raise us up unto newness of life. So if you are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your God and Savior for your salvation this morning, be warned that the state of death, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, is what awaits you. There is no hope of escaping death apart from Christ. But if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus for your salvation, be assured that death has no victory over you. For Christ has conquered death and hell, and he has won for us that eternal life of the blessed inheritance by his suffering on his cross and by his resurrection on the third day and ascension to the right hand of God. So take comfort in the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have saved us from the pit of despair by sending your only beloved Son to take on our nature and to suffer what we deserved in his cross and to be raised unto newness of life on the third day, vindicated in his righteousness, so that we might have the blessing of eternal life in your presence in him. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, we pray, to cling to this hope as we journey through this present age, waiting for the age to come at the return of our risen Lord. And conform us into the image of our God and Savior, that we may live lives worthy of the calling which we have received and respond to this great gospel of salvation by grace alone with worship in all that we would do as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.